Good to be with all of you this morning and into the afternoon. We are in a kind of short series called All of Life is All About Jesus, and the subtitle is A Journey Towards Whole Life Discipleship. And what we're trying to do is just trying to see how the whole gospel affects the whole person, and through, as the whole church, how can we bring the whole gospel to the whole world? And so really the emphasis is, how can we be a church that really is main goal is really about making disciples? And so I hope that you've hopefully benefited from the past few Sundays, where we've been able to go through some pretty basic things. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, I believe all the two sermons are online. I encourage you to listen to it and just to kind of get up to speed on some of the things that we're hoping to do in the coming weeks and months. And so another thing, just one thing before we jump into the sermon, there's an insert. I know last week I promised Mark Ho would come and share a little bit about expansion. He did something even better. He produced a kind of question and answer sheet just to kind of spell out and flesh out a little bit some of the things that are going on in Chinatown. So I encourage you to take time to read that. And if you have additional questions, I believe we're setting up some information sessions where you have opportunity to ask those questions. And so that's about it for kind of just short updates. But if you would just join me in a word of prayer, and let's ask the Lord to just bless this time. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness and grace. We thank you that each time we come together, Lord, you meet us here, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you meet us where we are in our respective journeys, and you know all our stories. You know where we have been, and Lord, you also know where we're headed, and so we thank you for that. And so we pray that you, through your word, would speak to us, to speak to our hearts, to speak to us as a community here, that we would be able to understand just what your desires are for us. And Lord, that we would have the desire to follow you, and whatever that may be. And so, Father, we give this time to you, believing and trusting that you're in our midst, that you're the one teaching us today. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Several years ago, a friend of mine, Sidney Chang, was recalling a trip that he made to Florida, specifically to the Kennedy Space Center. And while he was taking the tour, the guide had mentioned in passing that the Space Center was located on a wildlife sanctuary. And as kind of the tour went on, it suddenly hit him that the Kennedy Space Center was a perfect illustration or perfect metaphor for the church. Now, as you probably guessed, my friend is a pastor, so they pastors tend to just think of illustrations from everyday life. Like the Space Center, the church is also supposed to be a sanctuary. It's a place where people can find rest and refuge, right? But at the same time, it's also a launching pad. It launches us towards mission. It's a place where people come for refuge and rest, but also the place where we are equipped and sent on mission with God. And so that's basically what kind of hit him, and it kind of sparked my imagination too, as I thought about, yes, that's what the church is supposed to be, that we're to gather together, yes, for sure, but we're also scattered to live with Christ on mission with him. Now, unfortunately, as you probably know or have heard, due to cutbacks, the space shuttle program has been shut down in 2011. Now, the Kennedy Space Center hasn't completely shut down. In fact, they still hold tours for $50 for adults and $40 for kids if you'd like to go. And although the center does not launch manned missions like it was intended to, now it's kind of like a museum of sorts to look back at the great accomplishments of their heyday. Now, after this announcement, I was kind of bummed because I've never been there before and never witnessed a launch before. And I'm also bummed that the metaphor kind of doesn't work anymore, right? And I can't tell it anymore. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, you know what? Unfortunately, the illustration still applies, does it not? Yes, the church is supposed to be a sanctuary and a launching pad for mission. But for many churches, the mission has been grounded for a lot of different reasons. Yeah, maybe some churches gather as a refuge or a place of rest, but they've lost their mission to the world. And so, through all the complexity of the times we live in, there are a lot of different reasons why churches, in some ways, are stunted in this purpose in which God has called us all to be in. But how do we relaunch in midst of especially radically changing times and in challenging circumstances? How can the church be the church in the midst of difficult seasons? Now, here in the book of Acts, we'll find Jesus preparing the disciples essentially for a launch of some sorts. And through this passage, we'll see three things, and hopefully these three things will help us as a community understand what does it mean to be not only a sanctuary, but also a launching pad for mission. Three things. One, Jesus is preparing them for a mission. Secondly, Jesus gives us power for this mission. And lastly, he gives us the plan for mission. Preparation, power, and plan. Okay, so let's look at the first point. Preparation for mission. Luke starts, the gospel writer Luke is recapping what Jesus did between his resurrection and his ascension. And we look here at verse 1, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with you all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day which he was taken up, and then after he had given commands to the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not really sure if the disciples were fully aware of what was going on, but Jesus was preparing them for something. Jesus was preparing them for something big. And if you think about it, Jesus is really not doing anything particularly new. Jesus is teaching and instructing them. He's doing ordinary things like spending time with them and eating with them. He's presenting himself, convincing them that he's indeed alive and well, body and soul. And while he's with them during the period of 40 days, he repeated the theme. The repeated theme was what? Conversation about the kingdom of God. Now think about it. Again, nothing here is entirely new. What Jesus has been doing is what he's been doing all along. He's making what? Disciples. From the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus has been inviting people to lay down their lives to follow him, and the majority of the time was devoted to making disciples and teaching them and shaping them to be more and more like him. Now, in light of his death and resurrection, what do we find here Jesus doing? Doing the same thing. Making disciples. All these mysterious statements Jesus made about his death and his rising is now making sense because of all the things that he said actually happened. And because Jesus has risen, it is good news. Without the resurrection, there would be no faith worth following. Without the resurrection, all the things that he said would have been false. Through his death and resurrection, we are rescued from our sin and reconciled to God the Father. And through his grace, we get to spend eternity with him. In a world full of bad news, we have good news that is too true not to share. This is the power of the gospel. That the power of the gospel is Jesus triumphing over our sin, triumphing over the grave. But there's more. Jesus appeared to his disciples for 40 days and he spoke, what? About the kingdom of God. See, what Jesus is doing is that he's instructing his disciples once again on the purpose of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is not just life after death, but life now as well. The kingdom of God, you see, is about the gospel, is about God himself rescuing and renewing all of creation through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus rescues and he renews for a purpose, to be part of this restoring work in this world. And as Jesus increasingly rules and reigns in us, together we are to show once again what the world looks like when Jesus is in charge of our lives. See, the power and the purpose of the gospel is the whole gospel. Do you see how important it is to keep both the power and the purpose of God together? Because if we emphasize one over the other, we have a very lopsided gospel, if we just focus on the power of the gospel to save, it tends to be a very individualistic gospel that focuses just between you and God, is just focused on what happens after death. But if you just focus on building the kingdom of God, we try to build some kind of kingdom without the power of the king. You see, Jesus is instructing them on the whole gospel and that they are to be witnesses to this gospel with their whole lives. Now, what does this mean for you and I? Out of all the things, again, that Jesus would choose to do with his disciples with the very short time he had left on earth, he's trying to hammer home the substance of the faith, the whole gospel, what Jesus did for you and I to save us and to renew us from renew this broken world. And if this is what Jesus majored on, if this is what Jesus did intentionally for 40 days and throughout his time in ministry, as followers of Jesus, shouldn't the gospel also be something that we emphasize, we major on as well? Have you centered your life on the gospel? Is the substance of your faith about the gospel? When we come together in worship, when we come together in small groups, whatever ministries we are apart from Sunday worship, is our focus on the gospel, the good news? Is there substance of your faith and your witness about the gospel? See, this news is too good not to share. And so Jesus is preparing his disciples to be bearers of this good news. But before they can launch, they need fuel, they need power for this mission, which leads to the second point, that he not only prepares his disciples, not only prepares us, but he gives us the power to do it. Verse 4, while staying with him, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit." Not many days from now. Now Jesus gives them further instructions to stay in Jerusalem because there's a gift coming. The gift is no surprise because Jesus has already talked about this gift. In John 16, we see Jesus already talking about the Holy Spirit when he says, "Very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Now, it's apparent that when the disciples heard this first time after his death, they had no clue or idea what Jesus was talking about. Even now, in his post-resurrected state, it's pretty apparent that his disciples still didn't quite know what Jesus was referring to or what he was getting at. Jesus leaving hardly seemed like a good idea or a good thing. But according to Jesus, the only way for them to receive this gift is if Jesus returns to heaven. And so how do the disciples respond? Verse 6, and they came together and he asked them, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Now I find it kind of funny or comical that after Jesus promises this incredible gift of the Holy Spirit, they quickly change the subject. Sometimes in certain church circles, we prefer not to talk about the Holy Spirit, like he's this weird uncle that we don't want to talk about. Rather, it's easier to talk about what seems more manageable in our own eyes. It's easier to think about strategic planning, 5 to 10 year plans, not that those are bad things. But again, those are things that we feel like are more tangible. Those are the things that we feel like we could do out of our own strength and our own capacity. But Jesus is showing his disciples that he's preparing them for something bigger and something better. Not only is it something that is beyond their comprehension, but it requires a power in which they do not possess on their own. And so in Jesus' ascension, going to heaven, he would leave a disciple a power that no one has ever seen. Jesus has given us a valuable resource for this mission that he asked for us. It's the Holy Spirit for each believer. This is, in the sense of the secret weapon. It's his life in us so that we can love and serve like he did. It's his Spirit that empowers us to take the whole gospel through our whole lives to the whole world. It's the gift that the Father gives to us as believers of Jesus Christ. Several years ago, I went to a conference and the leader led us in an exercise where he told us to turn to each other as pastors and he asked us, "What does the Holy Spirit do?" Okay, and so as a group, we came up with a pretty good list as we looked at Scripture, and so I'm just going to run through it really quick, that he convicts the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness, John 16:8. He guides us in all truth, John 16:13. He regenerates us, John 3. He glorifies and testifies of Jesus Christ, John 15. He reveals Christ to us and in us, John 16. He leads us, Romans 8. He sanctifies us, 2 Thessalonians. He empowers us, Luke 4, Romans 15. Acts 1, he fills us. Ephesians 5, Acts 2, he teaches us to pray. Romans 8, Jude 1, he bears witness in us that we are the children of God. Romans 8, he produces in us fruit or evidence of his work and presence. Galatians 5, he washes and renews us. Titus 3. Then the speaker asked us, who do you really expect to do all these things that you just mentioned? And what he was alluding to was this, that oftentimes we expect the pastor or the spiritual leaders of the church to take on the role that only the Holy Spirit was meant to do, and quite frankly, the only one who could ever do it. And I was personally convicted by this because oftentimes I place expectations upon myself, right? Thinking it's my job to convict or to change people. But that's the Spirit's role. And I do a bad impression of the Spirit. But think about just that list. That's just the tip of the iceberg and the thing in terms of what the Spirit does through people and how oftentimes we either miss it or we expect ourselves to do it and fail miserably, right? You see, sometimes the Holy Spirit gets a bad rap and is associated with all the excesses. But when you look at Scripture, the Holy Spirit plays such a critical, important role in the mission of God. It would be very foolish of us to think by our own ingenuity that we can create our own waves, that we can create our own movement, when that job solely belongs to the Holy Spirit. And for many churches, the Holy Spirit is kind of the forgotten person of the Trinity, is kind of replaced by the Bible in some ways, and it's to our detriment. You see, Jesus has been preparing them for mission by discipling them, but in order for them to do the work that he wants them to do, it requires something more than what they can do in their own strength. Jesus is empowering them for mission to love and to serve in his name through his Spirit. And in order for us to live on mission with Jesus, we need fuel to launch. And that fuel for that mission, again, is the Holy Spirit. Are you trusting in the Spirit's power, or are you trusting on your own? That's why the role of prayer is absolutely critical. Because prayer is simply this. It's simply the acknowledgement that, you know what, on my own I can do nothing. And it's recognizing that there are limits to what you and I can do, and that we need the Spirit's power to move and to work. And if you know human nature enough, you know your own self enough, you know that for a person's heart to change, it takes literally a miracle, right? On your own strength. Think about just habits that we might have that we want to break. And you just know, there's no way I can change. I can't lose weight. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't change this habit. I can't stop looking at my phone. All these different things we recognize, we know ourselves, we know that by ourselves we can't. But through prayer and through reliance on the Holy Spirit, reliance on the truth of the Word, those are the very things in which are evidence of the Spirit and the fruit working within us. When we recognize the futility of trying to do things on our own, but recognizing that we have a God who rose from the dead, and that power that rose him from the dead is the same power that is given to each of us and given to us as a gift so that we can live our lives in such a ways that honor him. We need a power that is greater than our own. But to what end? To what end? This is, leads us to our last point, the plan for mission. What's the plan for mission? We see this in verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, what Jesus is trying to show his disciples is where they're headed in life. It starts with where they are, and it always moves outward. Okay? That's basically kind of the rough plan. It starts where you are, and it moves outward. In fact, the geographic places that are mentioned here in this verse serve as an outline for the rest of Acts. We're not doing a sermon series in Acts, but if you want to do, you want to look into that, note this, that the first seven chapters cover Jerusalem, starting where they are. Verses 8 through 11 covers Judea and Samaria. And the remainder of the book covers the progress of the gospel outside the Holy Land until it reaches home. To the ends of the earth back then meant Europe, okay? And so this is how the Holy Spirit worked in the early church and how their witness starts locally but is spread outwards towards the nations. As we consider the work of the Holy Spirit and how it's worked in the past here at BCEC, it's evident that God has uniquely placed this church to reach particular people in particular places, right? And so we have this rich history of reaching Chinese immigrants and subsequent generations, as well as making an impact in Chinatown and more recently here in Newton. Now, Boston, again, draws many students from all over the world, people working in this area temporarily. And it's pretty neat to hear about how many have come to BCC and during their studies and either came to faith while they were here or they're strengthened in their existing faith so that they could return home to be a blessing, whether it be in New York or California or Hong Kong or wherever they've come from. And we've sent missionaries all over the world, and it's amazing to see how much this church prioritizes global missions. This past week, I heard from Carrie Wong, who took the time to email me. He's one of the pastors here now, serving overseas. And he emailed me letting me know that he's been thinking about us, praying for us, and praying for me. And I was just really floored and blessed by him just taking the time to encourage me and to pray for us and to encourage us in the midst of all the things that he is doing overseas. But let's circle back a little bit and get specific about our campus and our congregation. What is the Spirit doing in our midst? What are the ways that God is moving in and around us? How can we learn and discern God's movement so that we can join Him in what He's doing around us? Remember that Jesus' main ministry was what? He was making disciples. And after his resurrection, he was basically doing what? The same thing, making disciples. And he left so that his disciples could be empowered to do the same thing that he's always been doing, making disciples. And one of the ways that I sense that the Spirit is nudging us as a community is to try to figure out how everything that we do together as a community is working towards the common goal of making disciples, whether it's life here and in worship on a Sunday or life together in small groups or any other ministries that we during the week. Like I mentioned a few weeks ago, we are thinking about how we can position our small group ministry especially and to be renewed in our emphasis in being disciples who make disciples. Aside from worship together, I believe life together, community and mission in small groups is going to be critically important to your growth, to my growth, to our collective growth together. And so I encourage you to pray that we would just hear God's leading and promptings in terms of how to position and to create an ecosystem where our small groups can flourish and thrive, where people are being discipled or people are making disciples. And so we're going to start a new prayer kind of campaign to kind of get ourselves on our knees to pray that our small groups can be a critical engine in allowing us to grow as His disciples. But not only there are plenty of different movements that I don't have time to share, but I do want to share a few other things, movements of the Spirit, not only internally, but also in our surrounding community. I think in Chinatown is probably a lot more straightforward in terms of what its purpose and mission is to the community. But with Newton, I think it's probably, maybe because it's in the suburbs, it's a little different in the sense that the needs might be much more hidden and it might be harder to identify. But it doesn't mean just because they're harder to identify that there are no needs. And sometimes it does take time to be intentional about meeting our neighbors and reading demographic reports and using other tools to learn more about our surroundings and our community and how our church maybe could potentially serve in love and care for others. But you know what? Sometimes opportunities and open doors come finding us. And sometimes you can't help but wonder, God, is this you? Is this you? Are you behind this? Is this the wind behind our backs? Recently, the city of Newton actually got in contact with John Wong, our SR chair, because they noticed an uptick of Chinese immigrants utilizing the food pantry, which was kind of a new thing that they'd never seen before. And the city realized very quickly that they were ill-equipped to reach this emerging group. And so, interestingly, they approached us, asking for a meeting. No, again, I've been a pastor for many years. Maybe, I don't know, Pastor Steve, maybe this happens to you all the time. For me, this doesn't happen very much, where the city would contact a church asking for help. And so Pastor Barry, myself, John, Ling Mei, and I went and met with the Department of Human Services, with our case managers, to discuss the possibilities for the city of Newton and the church to maybe work together to serve the Asian American community here. Now, things are still at the very beginning stages and very fluid, and we have some ideas that we're praying through, but please pray for wisdom. And continue that the Holy Spirit's leading would continue as we continue to meet and understand and think about how our church maybe could be in best position to serve the city in this way. Things that just kind of fall in our lap, is it God? I don't know. We don't know. But we still want to take steps of faith, believing that perhaps God is behind this, and we want to take steps to see and confirm whether or not indeed this is the Lord's work, that we can join Him on what He's doing around us. Another area where I sense movement is through student ministry. During the week while I'm in my office, I hear teens walking around all the time. Newton North is right not nearby. I believe there's another middle school nearby, and so there's just kids constant chatter during the week. At first, I was a little annoyed, I'll be honest. It was kind of loud. But over time, I began to just really, I think it was almost like a daily reminder to me of just the opportunity that we have here at this church to be located where we're located, so close to the high school, where there's so many kids walking in our general area, and I'm challenged to pray for them every single time I hear them, just as a reminder to me of just maybe this is God at work here, And so I invite you to pray with me on that, that potentially that God would do something about that. I don't know what yet, but I definitely sense that, wow, this is a tremendous opportunity that our church has. This past Friday, I also had the opportunity to teach the emerging youth group that has been meeting on Friday. We have a existing group here at TOB on Sunday morning. Friday, I think, was started up a few years ago by some lay leaders from the Mandarin and Cantonese congregation. But that group has been growing quite a bit, and many of them just come on Fridays and don't come on Sundays. And I'm trying to figure out whether or not they go to another church or not. But it's encouraging to see, actually, local youth from Newton North coming, and them also inviting their friends to come to a program that is pretty understaffed. Our lay leaders are stretched pretty far, but they still come. And I'm encouraged that they are coming. And I wonder if this is part of this bigger picture of what God is doing. Not only what's happening in our community, that it's just a crossroads of kids, the fact that Friday there's an immersion group there, and also the timing of our next hire. As you know, we're currently undergoing a search for a director of student ministries, and I can't help but marvel at God's timing of opening the door for this position to post and the applications that have taken interest in this incredible opportunity that lies before us. Next weekend, we have two candidates coming on Friday and on Sunday. to further discern God's call, whether or not they're called to be the student minister here. And so all these things are just things that I want to share with you as things that encourage me, movements of the Spirit that I see. And whether or not it's actually God, I'm still praying and asking for confirmation, but I would ask you to pray and to hopefully, I hope this gets you excited for the potential and the opportunity to see what God could do. Finally, I'll just say this. If we are people, disciples, who are willing to allow God and His Spirit to fill us, we can't underestimate the fact that God oftentimes will put people and opportunities before us in ways that you wouldn't imagine or could ever expect. And part of what it means to be a disciple is to pay attention. To pay attention to the things that are going on in you, to pay attention to things that are going around you, and to believe that God is on the move wherever you are, in your home, in your workplace, in your classroom, wherever God has planted you, wherever God has placed you, there's always opportunity to minister in Jesus' name. But the question is, are we paying attention? Are we paying attention? I'll confess, it's hard to pay attention in the world that we live in a world full of busyness where we're so spread out so thin. And so it is hard to be attentive to your own heart. It's hard to be attentive to what's going on around you. And so it does require us to really just be able to say, Lord, I believe you are in my midst. You are alive and working today. You are on the move. Help me to notice what you're doing so I can join you in what you're doing rather than you just trying to force the action and force things. And I've done that many, many times, where I try to force the action and it's just not happening. It's much easier and more exciting to be able to listen well, to pay attention, and to see where maybe God is moving and just kind of step in there and wonder, Lord, maybe you're in this conversation or maybe you're in this relationship. Let me test the waters a bit. And it's exciting to see that oftentimes it is God doing that kind of work and doing things that you wouldn't ever expect. That's what makes following Jesus particularly exciting and interesting. We can ask the Spirit, what's next? What's next? And see where He leads you. See, after Jesus gives His disciples the content of the mission, the resources for mission, the scope of the mission, Jesus leaves. And it seems crazy, but Jesus entrusts the mission to them and has given them everything that they need. Jesus has prepared them, and we'll soon see that God does and turns the world upside down through the start of many different churches. Fast forward a couple thousand years later, and here we are. Many saints have gone before us and have continued Jesus' commission to make disciples. And we are the fruit of that, right? We are the fruit of that. We are the fruit of years and years of saints sowing and suffering to make disciples who make disciples. And that's why the church is still here today. That's why you and I are sitting here. Through their labor, through their suffering, they brought the gospel to us. But the mission of the church is always under threat of being grounded, as you probably know. The church is, again, both a sanctuary and a launching pad for mission. It's the people of God gathered and scattered. The ministry that we do together should always inform and affect the ministry that we do apart. And so let us not lose our identity as a church. A church that gathers and a church that scatters to reach people whom God has best equipped us to reach. But also to the places that God has planted us and placed us, whether it be here in Newton or wherever that God has placed you. And let us believe and trust and dream that God through us, yes, weak vessels, weak and oftentimes just resistant people, that God would somehow break through our hearts so that His Spirit can empower us to again, do things that we never thought we could ever do. So may you just be open to this invitation to join Jesus on whatever He wants to do in your life, whatever He wants to do here in our midst. So let us continue to follow Jesus. Let us pray. Let's take a few moments to respond to the Holy Spirit's promptings, to take time to pay attention to whatever God might want to say to you as you think about your life, as you think about your relationships, as you think about where God has planted you. Let's just take a few moments and just be open to whatever God might have to say. People that perhaps God might want you to connect with. Let's just be open to the Spirit's leading. Father, I can think of nothing else that's more exciting and fulfilling than being at the center of your will. To being in the center of the action. To not be spectators, but active participants in your mission. Father, that's what you saved us for. You saved us for a purpose. You didn't save us just so that we could just kind of be just passively waiting for when you come back. You didn't save us just so that our sins could be forgiven, that things would be just right between us and you, although that's so critically important. But Father, you saved us for a purpose. And Father, there are so many people in our world and the people around us that I think are yearning and desperate to hear good news. Good news of who you are and what you've done. There are many people who are going throughout life without knowing the joy of knowing you, the joy of salvation, the joy of being in relationship with you, the joy of having a purpose to live for. And so, Father, I pray that we would just continue to listen to you, to pay attention to your Spirit's promptings, and where you bring opportunity to just be able to, by faith, step into it. To step into areas of life and ministry that we never imagine ourselves doing, but to take that risk, believing that as we take that risk into the unknown, that you meet us there and you grow us through that process. And so, Father, we pray, Father, that indeed our church would be the church, a church that, yes, is a sanctuary, a place of refuge, where the broken can come, where the wounded can be healed and bound up. At the same time, remind us that we are a launching pad, Father, that we are not just to remain in these four walls, but Father, we are sent, we are scattered into this world to be witnesses, to bear witness to the wonderful truth of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, would you just prepare us, empower us, and as we discern your plan, to step into whatever you have for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.